As I have just told you at the beginning, we are so honored and so glad to have Compassion Canada with here today. If you didn't catch it at the beginning, we're in a Reaching Out sermon series. It's so amazing to see how God's been working through the church, obviously, but through different people working in different places, serving different people groups. And so the first week we had Life Water Canada, and then the past week we had Will Go, and this week we have Compassion Canada. And the pastoral team's sort of encouragement and the challenge to all of us is, as you're hearing this, obviously you're hearing it so much from a spectator point of view. Oh, they are doing great things. Oh, they're all the way in Mexico, in Guatemala, whatever. But the challenge for all of us is not just watch, but think about what our move, what our response is. And for some of us in this Reaching Out campaign, that would probably mean that our encouragement is, would you consider giving financially monetary donations so that we can give to these organizations through the Reaching Out campaign? But I challenge you, young people, you know, parents, whatever, is God calling you to do something with perhaps just your time? It doesn't have to be, you know, fly the whole family to Mexico and, you know, become a missionary. But what if it's just, hey, I'm going to go to my local people that's in need food bank, and maybe that is the story that's inspired me to go to. And perhaps some of you will consider making a bigger life change, bigger move in terms of your career, in terms of your vocation. So our challenge is, when you're hearing about these things, don't just hear, don't just watch, don't just spectate, but ask yourself, what is God calling me to do as I hear this message about his work and his kingdom? So with all that being said, I'm going to please give a warm welcome to Pastor Sam and also to Grant.
Well, great to be here back at Koinonia Evangelical Church. Before I begin, thank you, Carson. Thank you, worship team, for just setting the tone tonight. We just appreciate that. And can I see those hands again, those youth that were in transition going into grade 8, or that Carson that you mentioned? Can I see those hands again? Huh? There's some over here. They're a little shy, like, I encourage you to go meet with Carson afterwards and hang with him. He's cool. Isn't Carson kind of cool? Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Thank you, Carson. You know, there's a deep, rich history of partnership between Koinonia Evangelical Church and Compassion Canada. And we just appreciate so much how over the years your Reaching Out campaign has helped make a difference, have an impact on children, their families, whole communities. And what I wanted to do tonight is just quickly give an update on some of the impact that you've had. I just sent out some reports to the pastors here, and you can dig deeper if you'd like by asking them about those. But a couple of programs in particular, the first one being what we call a survival program. And in layperson's terms, that's moms and babies. And this is a development program for moms pre-birth and post-birth for the first year of that baby's formative year, that critical time. This is for moms and families to learn how to provide for their children, how to parent. If they need help, we offer help. If they need formula, if they need foodstuffs, we reach out to them, help them. If they need care, we provide care. And this is a group-based activity. And through these activities, moms learn skills and knowledge on how to parent and help their children to thrive. Also through programs like income generation workshops, mothers learn valuable skills to support not only themselves and their families at home, but in this picture, the moms are learning how to make pizza. How about some lessons at church about how to make pizza? Anybody? Yeah. So they can feed their families at home, and also provide business opportunities within their community. Home visits. Staff from our frontline church partner, and if you're not familiar with Compassion, our model is Christ-centered, child-focused, church-driven. And the church-driven part is that it's a local church that is empowered to reach out to the community and to serve them in this way. So program staff from the local church visit the moms and their families at home and provide personalized support. Also emotional support. And so those young moms are given the opportunity to share amongst themselves their parenting joys, their challenges, and build a sense of community amongst themselves and be supported in that way and in prayer. That's our survival program. And then also the other program that your gift from last year's Reaching Out program supported was in a small town down in the most southwestern state of Mexico called Chiapas. And their families are mostly indigenous and live in poverty. There's 175 to 200 homes in that community. Most of them, the large majority of them, don't even have floors. And the church partner there at the church center recognizes the needs of the families and recognizes the needs of their own church. They house about 350 children multiple times a week to train them in the way they should go. And they meet in overcrowded, poorly ventilated spaces. So the church recognized that, approached Compassion for assistance, and we've partnered through them with the El Buen Samaritano Church, the Good Samaritan, and built four additional classrooms. And if we want to roll ahead with the slides, you can see some of the work that's being done with those classrooms. And this team has worked with a local architect and local professionals, contractors, and volunteers to provide the concrete work, foundations, the columns, walls and roof, plaster, and then the finishing touches like electricity insulation, painting, tiles, windows and doors, and even some of the labor. And you can see the church and the classrooms being constructed. So all of that to say this, that you, Koinonia Evangelical Church, here in Richmond, BC, Canada, are literally building the church. And in this particular case, in a small town in the state of Chiapas, Mexico. And Pastor Carson, I loved your reference to Jesus and the two blind men in that story. And I really believe you, as a church, asked Jesus, Jesus, what would you have us do for you? And you answered with compassion and with generosity and gave from what you have and have blessed these people. And so I thank you for that, and we appreciate you and look forward to continued partnership. God bless you.
Thank you, Grant. This is the first service that Grant and I share at today. And he finally got the opportunity to know what I am going to speak.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you had no idea in the morning to Cantonese services.
To translate.
Yeah. Yeah, so, well, once again, thank you very much. I'm so happy to be here. I was here last year with Grant as well, and had this chance to come back and see even a bigger congregation. This is exciting. I'm sure God is blessing this church, and in turn, you guys are also blessing others. How beautiful. Before I go into sharing my experience with Compassion, oh, by the way, I am a volunteer with Compassion. I don't work there. Grant worked there. Grant is a staff there. I'm actually a pastor with Vancouver Chinese Baptist Church, but I do quite a bit of volunteer work, and I travel, visit Compassion centers quite frequently over the last 7-8 years. I've been to Mexico 7 times in the last 7 years. So this morning, Grant was calling me half Mexican. Yeah, so I loved it. I love going there, and I have developed a passion, a connection, an affection to the people there. But before I talk more about compassion in Mexico, I want to share with you a message from the Bible. Let me read to you this few verses from Luke. As Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. "Truly, I tell you," he said, "this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave the gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on." So that's the four verses I'd like to share with you. Well, traditionally, the common understanding of this event is that the Lord Jesus used this poor widow as a role model for his disciples, including us, teaching us the right attitude in giving. The reason the widow was praised by the Lord Jesus was because she gave everything she had without holding anything back. She only had two coins, and she could have just given one coin and kept the other, but instead she gave both. Wow, frankly speaking, as I now want to encourage you to sponsor children through compassion, I would be very tempted to use this example of the poor widow to persuade you to tighten your belts, you know, to quote the Lord Jesus, to give all you have to live on, you know, meaning you should give away your savings, your, you know, retirement funds, your stocks, your bonds, your, you know, real estate, your gold, silver, your brand name bags, LV, whatever, sell them and give to the children who are poor. Right? The temptation to preach in this way is indeed very strong. However, I seriously doubt whether this story of the poor widow's offering should be taken as a model for giving to the extreme. Today, I'm not denying that giving should involve commitment or even sacrifice. Yes. But rather, I want to explore whether this event of the poor widow in this passage is truly teaching us about giving. Well, first, we need to understand that this widow had only two small coins. These two small coins are her entire possessions. Jesus said these two coins were all she had to live on. So if she gave them away, she would not have anything to live on. She would have no resources to buy the next meal. She might have to beg, or she might have to go hungry, or even in the worst case, starve to death. This is not an exaggeration. It is her real situation. Her entire worth was these two coins, and she could have kept one to sustain herself. To put it bluntly, this is a self-destructive giving. And in Luke's account, this poor widow's commitment had reached the level of self-destruction. If her action is not supposed to serve as a model of giving, so what exactly this poor widow story meant to convey? Well, if we look closely to the events of this happened in the final week of Jesus on earth. And we notice that in the final week, there's a recurring theme. After Jesus made his triumphal entry to Jerusalem, the first thing he did was to cleanse the temple, driving out those who were buying and selling and accusing them of turning God's house into a den of robbers. Next, Jesus told several parables, all pointing out the Israel's leaders that they had departed from the truth and they had become enemies of God. And after that, Jesus warned people to beware of the Pharisees and the scribes, saying that they were hypocritical and they practiced injustice, and would therefore, subsequently, Jesus talk about their judgment. They would have to face judgment. At the end of the whole passage, Jesus even foretold the destruction of the temple to show the wrath of God and the punishment of God against Israel. particularly their leaders. So you will find this series of accounts all talk about the sins of Israel's leaders. And right in the middle of these events comes the story of the poor widow's offering. If everything Jesus did and said during this final week was exposing the sins of religious leaders, then how should we understand the poor widow's story? Well, we look at what happened right before the passage we read and right after the passage we read right now. Okay, the passage right before says this: beware of the teachers of the law. They devour widows' houses and for show make lengthy prayers. They devour widows' houses, her properties, her possessions. Immediately after that, we see the poor widow with only two small coins, putting them into the temple treasury. And right after that, Jesus said, some of his disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned by beautiful stone and gifts dedicated to God. When you put all these around the widow's offering, do you see the whole events differently now? Jesus had been pointing out the sins of the religious leaders, one of which was devouring widows' houses. The text mentions how the religious leaders, even the temple system, devour widows' property and immediately gives us the image of a widow so poor that she only has two coins, but she gave them away. This is clearly no coincidence. It's a perfect example Jesus used to expose how the religious leaders were devouring widows' possessions. For Jesus, what pleases him most is not when the most vulnerable in the society come to the temple or the church and give away the money they need to survive on. I don't think that makes Jesus happy. What makes Jesus pleased was when these helpless people, including this poor widow, they come to the church, they come to the temple, to God's people, and they find care, they find love, they find help. They are supposed to be the one that receive, not the one that gives away everything. Jesus' teaching has always been that God's true people, us, must care for orphans, widows, and foreigners in distress. Therefore, the fact that the poor widow gave her last two coins to the temple, leaving herself without even the basics for survival, is not the ideal situation in Jesus' eyes. Of course, Jesus delights in our commitment to him, in our sacrifice to him. But if a church ignores vulnerable people on the brink of ruin, this is a serious problem. This is the problem with the Jerusalem leader at that time. They took money from them, but instead they should have supported them. So at this time, you know, I like to encourage, and I'm very encouraged actually by Koinonia, that you have this program called Reaching Out. Because the last thing God wants to see in his church is that people just enjoy themselves within the four walls and ignore what's happening outside, the injustice, the poverty, the suffering. We in Vancouver, we are probably the wealthiest group of people in the world. We have this moral responsibility, let alone spiritual responsibility, to be supporting those people who are in struggle with their daily basic needs. And that's how the story of compassion can come in. In compassion, we have talked a lot about compassion over the last few years. Last year I came, I talk mainly about the different children that I have encountered whose lives have been changed by support from people like you, your sponsorship, you know, the donation you guys made, like the classroom that was built in Chiapas. That's great. But today I'm going to change the direction a little bit. I want to share with you, when you donate your money to compassion, what the local church and their leaders actually do with your money. How do they serve in the front line that makes your money works. So let's take a look. Let me show you what Mexico is. Well, this is the Mexico most of us experience, right? When you go to Mexico, most of the time we're talking about Cancun, Puerto Vallarta, like those places. Those are not Mexico. Those are America, okay? You spend U.S. dollar there. You don't spend peso there. But if you watch the news, that's the Mexico you will see the next one. If you watch the news, most of the time you see pictures like this in Mexico. Cartel fights, murders, massacres even, right? Drug-related activities. So what is Mexico? What kind of country, what kind of place is in Mexico? The next one is like, it's somewhere in between, okay? Mexico is actually, you can see Mexico divided into three parts. The first is the northern Mexico, close to the U.S. border, okay, close to USA. That part is the most dangerous. I mean, don't go there for tourism, okay? There's nothing to see. It's mainly very active cartel areas in those places. It's very dangerous. But the middle part of Mexico, it's probably the safest portion. It's because the capital is there, Mexico City, is in the center. The southern part of Mexico, the area that Koinonia Church has supported and is supporting, yeah, that's you can see. It's the southern part is the poorest of the country. The living condition is the worst. Suffering, it's very common in that area. So the area you support, the Chiapas area, is very, very close to the border of Guatemala. Okay, so it's very, very south. The more south you go, the poorer it is. So I'm thankful that you guys are supporting this center, this church in Chiapas. They need your support. But I'm going to share with you, because the country, I mean, the area I go to, it's Mexico City, okay? Mexico City, it's in the middle of Mexico, but it's still, there are a lot of neighborhoods that are very poor. One of them is this one. It's called Chimalhuacan. And the pastor in the middle is Pastor Santiago. He has been serving in the area of Chimalhuacan for over 35 years. He has been running a compassion center with his church. The good thing about compassion is that the compassion do not build their own children's center in the area. They always, 100%, work with local churches. And the local churches actually run the center. Compassion provides support financially and other support, but it must be a church that runs it. And that's why you can be assured that your money don't just go to their necessities, food and things they wear, but also you're supporting the spread of the gospel, because it's a church that is doing all the work. So Pastor Santiago, he's a pastor. He has been running the center for more than three and a half decades. There are a lot of children that has grown up, and because of his work, they have been released from poverty. They have grown, they have earned a skill, and they were able to make a living, that they no longer live under poverty line in Mexico. So he has done a lot of work for God and for the local community. Let me show you what Chimalhuacan looks like. Chimalhuacan is about 30 minutes from Mexico City. Not too far, okay? A lot of those are just traffic jam. It's like Aberdeen Center near, like, I was stuck there for like 15 minutes. Yeah, it's very bad traffic in Mexico. But the next one, you see, this is a local business, daytime. It's open, this business. But that's how it is. It looks like it when it's open. Because this robbery is so common, okay? So you see all the I don't know what they call it, the security thing. This one, and when I walk, the guy at see the back, he is Pastor Santiago. I took this picture because I almost ran inside this tent. I was wondering, well, what is it? And then he told me, well, there was a murder happened yesterday, and that was the murder site. People, this is like CSI. People are still investigating it. It's very common, like these kind of things, very common, but trust me, it's not that dangerous, okay? they're targeted, okay? They won't target you. But you don't feel the danger really much, okay, there. But yeah, that's the community he works in. That's the family he works with, and he is trying to help. And his church, the next one, is called Jesus of Nazareth. And this is the church. It's very small, actually, but they're serving about 80 kids every week. The kids will go there twice a week, three times a week, and they will have a very good meal. They would receive teaching. They would receive skill-building activities and so on. And, of course, they would learn about Bible. They would learn about God. They would have worship. So this is the church that he has been running and pastoring for 35 years, together with Compassion. Compassion actually makes it possible, because how would he have the resources to pastor, to run a center for 80 kids every week, three times a week? One day, Pastor Santiago was driving south, the next one. He went to a place called, we actually went through this place called La Paz, which means peace. But there's not much peace there. It's a hilly neighborhood. Whenever it is a hill, you will know that only poor people live there. It's not like places in Hong Kong or even Vancouver. The higher up you go on a hill, on a mountain, the higher the price of real estate. But in Mexico, it's the opposite, because the higher you go, well, in a hillside neighborhood, there's no water, there's no electricity. So if you need to get water, you have to go down and then go up. So nobody wants to go to live at the top of the hill. It's the poorest who would live there. So this is a hillside neighborhood. Pastor Santiago went there. He saw a lot of kids, street kids, running around. It's like what Jesus, just like what you quote earlier. It's like Jesus saw a lot of sheep with no shepherd. So Pastor Santiago stopped his car. He went out. And then he gathered quite a few of the kids, and then he made a promise at that moment. He was touched by the Spirit. He made a promise, and he said, I'm going to build a children's center in this neighborhood for you guys. So he made this promise. He left. He started fundraising. In 2017, he raised enough fund, $10,000. That's a lot of money in U.S. I mean, in Mexico. It's not a lot of money here. But I mean, what you can buy? You can't even buy a car here, 10,000 US. They bought a piece of land, a big land, in La Paz area. And this is the land dedication prayer that they did. They bought it, and then they started construction. The next one, 2018, they started to build the foundation, but they did not have enough resources, enough money to finish the foundation. Well, at that time, Compassion Mexico, their policy did not allow them to finance a building project. Not like now, but like your money went to the classroom construction. That was great. But at that time, the policy did not allow Compassion financing a building project. So they got stuck here. Well, that's how local church can come in. Okay, my church, we had a mission team went there to take a look of what they need, and we saw this unfinished foundation. So we said, okay, let us go back to Vancouver to my church, and then we tried to raise funds for them. They needed $8,000 to finish the foundation. That's very low cost, right? You know, because you know why, like your money, I don't know how much, but I believe your money would not be able to build four classrooms in Vancouver. But how you can afford to build four classrooms in Mexico? Because most of the constructions were done by the brothers and sisters of the church. not by like professionally trained people. They have some professionally trained people, but most of the labor were done by laymen. So that's the same thing. 8,000 Canadian to finish their foundation. Great. So we go back to our church and then we fundraise. We raise $18,000. So we really thank God for, you know, touching our heart. And we the next one, we were raising funds for water, not drinking water, but they don't even have water to do construction. Okay, so we have to buy water. We have to buy bricks and sand and everything. So $18,000. So the next one is that when we, it looks like a cartel transaction, like a Chinese gang making deal with a Mexican gang. But in fact, it's no. We had a lot of brothers and sisters. They wrote some blessing messages in Spanish. So we gave it to Pastor Santiago on the site. So with the money, they were able to finish the foundation, the next one. Okay, now you see, 2019 is almost done. The next one, yeah, it's like this is considered complete for the foundation. The next one, we actually pray for Pastor Santiago when we visit. So they spent 8,000 of our money to finish the foundation, but there's still 10,000 left, right? So what did they do with the money? Well, they continue to build. They built the ground floor. They built the four walls. They finished. They used up the money. The money was not enough to cover the ceiling, you know, the roof. So there was only enough money for them to build four walls, but not the roof. So it's like an open deck a church. So that was a regret for us that the money wasn't enough to build to complete the first floor. But you know what happened in 2021? 2020, 2021? COVID, right? During COVID, the Mexican government banned all indoor gathering. But that's not considered indoor, right? There's no roof. So the government said, you guys can gather there because it's open, open deck. So when the Chimalhuacan church cannot gather, they actually go to the La Paz unfinished building to gather throughout the whole pandemic. You know, God is amazing. Even what we see as a regret, as something is inadequate, God made it work, right? So when and after pandemic, they have raised enough money to finish. But during pandemic, Pastor Santiago was helping a lot of families, and he was like distributing different medical supplies and food and stuff. He got infected, and he died. So he passed away 2021. He wasn't able to see the finish of the project, which I felt really bad about. But God has his timing. God's work is never completed in one generation, right? He started, but he might not be the one to finish. His wife and his brother-in-law took over the church leadership. They continue to pastor the sheep there, and we finished the project in 2023. You see, the roof is there. Still, this place, no electricity, no water, but they don't care. They're using this place to serve about 100 children twice a week. They give them meals. They give them teaching lessons, Bible lessons, life skill lessons, twice a week, without electricity, without water. Well, they get water from those water truck once a week. They took electricity from the next door neighbor. It's very funny. Like, that's how Mexico works. Like, when your neighbor might have electricity, but the government did not extend the electricity to you know, even though you're just right next to your neighbor. You have to wait until the government decided to do it. So we were involved in the opening ceremony, and we went to actually the roof, and we took a picture. They are still fundraising. They are hoping to build the second floor. The next one, actually, is we're standing on the roof. Yeah. So that's the Chimalhuacan and the La Paz. That's how it's very similar thing that I'm sure Chiapas, the church, the Compassion Center is doing. And they are constantly looking for opportunity to serve children. The next one is like they're serving children. So this is great. Okay. And I have to skip the next one and go right to the sponsorship. You see the QR code. Okay. So your money goes to an organization that rely heavily on local people like Pastor Santiago. And I have been to many, many compassion centers, and everybody served there. They were like Pastor Santiago. They're faithful servants. They themselves, they came from poverty, and they understand the suffering of poverty. They have all the motivation to help the next generation to be released from poverty. So please help. We're counting on you. This is a QR code specifically made for Koinonia Evangelical Church. When you go into the site, it's a site that Compassion made for you guys only. And all the children you see there, they are from the same area, Chiapas. If you're interested, please pick some of them, one or two maybe, and start a relationship, start a sponsorship relationship with the children. Not just, you know, give money, but start writing to them, encourage them, build a relationship with them. And that's how we change the world, one child at a time. So I really appreciate KEC, your support over the last many years. But we're also counting on you, on your ongoing support. So afterwards, Grant and I will be standing in the booth there. There are some physical forms you can actually take, and you can use those forms to sponsor children as well. If you already sponsored, I'm grateful. Continue to nurture the relationship with your sponsor kid, and they would appreciate it. So let us pray together. Heavenly Father, I give thanks to you for this wonderful opportunity that we get as a sponsor, as a potential donor to people like those in La Paz, like those in Chimalhuacan. Every day they were not sure what their next meal is, but with your help, we can bring more certainty in their life. We can bring more hope in their life. We can bring salvation to their life as well, because it is your gospel, because Jesus has already died for us. So help us, help the local church, so that we establish this partnership, will be fruitful, will be a blessing to others, and in return, we will also be blessed. So I'm thankful for KEC, and may God continue to bless this church so they will continue to be blessing to others. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.